This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In our world today, there are many of us who claim to believe in God. From the remotest areas of South America, Africa, or some Pacific island, to some of the most ritualistic Eastern believers and Western Orthodox Christians, we find human beings expressing religious views and religious lives. But is being religious enough? Is God pleased with our religious expressions, or are they worthless in the eyes of God? And if God is not pleased, then what is it He's looking for? What can we do to satisfy His expectations? Stay with us as we explore these intriguing questions on today's Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
And greetings, everyone, out there in television land, as we say. We're glad to have you viewing the Armor of God telecast today. And I hope today's program will touch you where you live. Is being religious enough? Now, many people think of religiosity or being religious as encompassing going to church, doing good deeds, perhaps giving oneself to prayer. All of these things sum up what we view as religiosity or being religious. Now, my question to you is this. If you don't attend a church regularly every Sunday, or if you are like we are, Sabbath keepers, every Sabbath, then how do you assess whether you are in the faith or are you religious? There's an example here in the scriptures to which I want to turn. In the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, we're introduced to a man named Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew and was not a frequent visitor necessarily to Jerusalem or to the temple. There were limitations imposed upon Gentiles, you see, from going into the temple. There was something called the court of the Gentiles, but you couldn't go into the very special parts of the temple because you were non-Jewish. Now, in Cornelius' case, there is a description given about him in Acts, the 10th chapter, that would probably disturb some of us. Because those of us who are religious, those of us who wear our religion on our sleeves, view other people as outsiders or the unconverted or not part of the clique, if you will. And therefore, we would say that you don't have enough religion to be a part of our circle. There are things you must do in order to be a part of what we do. In the case of Cornelius, you see, he was uncircumcised, and the Jews would not welcome him into their fellowship unless he had submitted himself to the ritual or the rite of circumcision. That was just a means of getting on the inside, you might say. So as you assess in your own lives whether you are religious or not, what kinds of things do you think you have to do in order to please God, in order to be in the inner circle, if you will? Let's read here in Acts, the 10th chapter, briefly, this passage that introduces us to Cornelius. It says, there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was a leader, centurion, over at least 100 men, and sometimes even more than that. But they had a band, sometimes called a cohort. And the cohort may have 300 to 600 soldiers in it, and he was the authority figure for them, a significant office. Verse 2 gives this description that you should consider. He was a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, you must admit that that is a religious description. He prays, He gives of his possessions. He's well thought of. He has a relationship with God. And he feared or reverenced and respected God. And yet, you can't find that he was a part of the church until this story is manifested to us and opened up as a significant presentation by the Apostle Peter as he has a vision. Now, before I continue with this story today, let me tell you what we're offering, because I believe it's going to assist you in understanding the place of religion in your life and what it is you need to do to appreciate how God responds without necessarily responding to people who are part of the main everyday clique called religiosity or Christianity. Let me show you what we're offering today. The booklet, or actually we're not offering booklets, we're offering two tapes. That's a great offer for you. You can ride along in your car if you wish and listen to these particular presentations. The first one is entitled, How Do You Know You Are a Christian? That is given by George Ramakan, and you've met him perhaps here on The Armor of God. He is a minister down in Jamaica and a wonderful speaker and presenter. So that tape I highly recommend. The second tape is entitled, Is Being Religious Enough? It's an expansion of the presentation that I'm giving you today, and I will be making the presentation on that tape. So a double offer, tape cassette, or by DVD or CD, I should say, by CD, you can just simply call 1-888-578-8791. The operators are standing by to take your request, or you can visit us online at www.cgi.org. Continuing in today's presentation, Cornelius was a non-Jew, a Gentile. He's described as being one well thought of by the people because he gave alms to the people. He feared God. He was involved in religious activity, though not part of the church. My point about this is to show you that the Almighty God will respond to people who are not necessarily religious as we see it, who are not doing everything that we do to fit within our religious scheme. There's no mention of him going to church, for instance, or Sunday school, or Sabbath school, those kinds of things that might fit your customs. In verse 3, we continue on by seeing, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of that day, an angel of God, a messenger of God, coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, he was fearful, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now that's striking, because many times in our minds, we think of people who are religious as people who do certain things. Perhaps you are a Sabbath day keeper. Perhaps you observe the holy days. Maybe you give tithes of all that you possess. And you do certain things that make you think that you have an inroad superior to other people, when in fact, this passage of Scripture shows us that God is responsive to the person who seems to be on the outside looking in. Let's continue. Verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. In other words, the prayers that this man Cornelius was praying and the religious activity outside the wide circle of religiosity that surrounded him caused God to respond to him in a way that sometimes makes us uncomfortable, because why would God respond to this man? Now let's go on to consider this. You can read through this passage here in Acts all the way to verse 8, and you will discover that God hears, that's the first point I want to make, God hears the prayers of folk who are not of your faith. That's kind of disturbing. He does? You mean, if I'm a Methodist, he actually might listen to Baptists? Well, let me just bring it down to our circle and to our belief system. You know, we are Sabbath keepers. We call ourselves the Church of God International. Is it possible that God might hear someone in another group another organization that are Sabbath keepers and holy day observers? Oh, it is possible. Well, we find right here a man named Cornelius being heard. That's what we read in verse 6. Verse 7 says, "And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually." There was a member of his band, the Italian band, who also was devout. Devout. Who prayed. Who besought God. Who sought to do the right things, though they seemed to be on the outside looking in. Verse 8. "And when he had declared unto him all these things, he sent him on to Joppa." And at the same time this was going on, up in Caesarea, down in Joppa, where Peter was, he was having a vision. He was having a dream that was manifesting to him the mind of God on having him prepare to go and follow these men back to their location in Caesarea and make a presentation to teach more perfectly a way of life and the way of God to this man named Cornelius. So the second point I should suggest to you is this. God hears the prayers of those who are not of our race. Whatever race you might be, do not think that God is only concerned about your group and not someone else. Because remember, Cornelius was an Italian. He was a Roman who was away from home, perhaps, visiting down here in the Palestinian area, and began to have a relationship with the Almighty God, not the paganistic gods of Rome, of which there were many. And so as a result of this activity, God responded to him, and he was a different racial stock than those of the Jews. And the third point here then is God answers the prayers of folk who are religious. Look at verse 2 tells us he was a devout man and one that feared God. We find again in verse 7 that there was a devout soldier among this band of soldiers that Cornelius sends away. But over in Acts the 17th chapter, I like this passage that deals with Paul being invigorated to go to the marketplace at Mars Hill while he's in Europe. He's in the land of the Greeks, and he is at Athens, where he has a wonderful opportunity to share some things with people he describes as religious. Look at verse 22 in Acts 17. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things,'" this is the King James wording, "'you are too superstitious,' but the margin declares, 'you are quite religious.'" They had all of these idols and figures around, and they had one special one. In verse 23, it's described this way, "And I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now, many wrestle with that particular passage. My studies have convinced me that it perhaps is dual. To the God that you don't know, Yahweh perhaps, YHVH, is referenced here, but the God you do not know fully. To this God I reference myself, Paul says, "Him whom you ignorantly worship, I declare unto you." So being religious as these people were, they brought into their presence this man, Paul, an apostle of God, who actually responded to their religiosity to help bring them to another place that they're required to go. Let me just pause right there. If you're going to church and it's not as satisfying as you'd like for it to be, and perhaps by watching the Armor of God telecast, you are being confronted with issues that differ from the things that you've been taught, the things you've grown up doing, the ideas that you hold, the observance of Christmas and Easter and all kinds of paganistic practices that have been labeled Christian or religious. Is that enough for you? Where do you go from here? What do you decide to do in satisfying this ache, this longing, this hunger within you to be more satisfying, to have a greater relationship with God? I suggest you to this, that being religious is not enough. You must begin to move into the realm of a relationship. Religiosity, well, anybody can do that. Anybody can be that. If I had the time today, I would go back to 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, to deal with Rehoboam, the king of Israel, and to deal with Jeroboam, who is going to lead a rebellion away from the house of Israel to cause a split between these two entities to become the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And the house of Israel is going to be led by Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is going to be a religious person. He's just going to go the wrong way. He is going to decide to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which always comes in the seventh month of the year. He's going to do it in the eighth month. That's religious. They're going to be doing things that seem religious and seem to be satisfying. And there are those who would say, well, this is all right, but what does the Word of God say? The Word of God is going to direct you more proficiently and more soundly into the ways that would please Him and not simply yourself. That's what I'm getting to in today's program. Because there are things we do that, well, are just normal to us. We go to church, we send our children off to Sunday school, we're involved in activities, and I'm not saying at any length that the things you do, the offerings you provide that assist people and to help them, are all very religious. However, are they pleasing to Almighty God? Are there things that will cause you to enter into a stronger, more beneficial relationship with Him? Well, let's go on to continue in our presentation today. Cornelius was quite religious, but God wanted more. He wants a relationship with each of us. And in order to have that relationship, we must move from our concepts of merely being religious, doing those kinds of things that everybody does who's involved in church. Now, for the person viewing the program who's not engaged in it, you should be encouraged by the example of Cornelius. The fact is that God heard him, responded to him, sent someone to him to assist in bringing him into greater truth. You go back to Acts 10. And after all of the activity, we find in verse 34, Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 34, Peter now responds. Peter was reticent to go. He was reluctant to go because, you know, he was part of this group of people known as the Jews who had gone through circumcision, who really didn't have that much viewing and pleasure for those who were Gentiles. Remember the occasion in John 4, when the disciples go away, Jesus is left with the woman at the well, and they have a conversation. And when the disciples return, they are amazed that Jesus is talking to this woman who's not only a Gentile, but she's a woman. And he's having a relationship with her to show her how to move closer into a relationship with Almighty God. So here in Acts 10th chapter, in verse 34, Peter goes on and says, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with which John preached. Now God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So the Messiah comes into a circumstance where he not only shares the gospel with the Israelites, but he also has it trickle out and matriculate down to those individuals who are outside the relationship of the Jews. But the interesting thing, as this chapter concludes, there was a baptism. There was a bringing together of people. There was a response to the teaching by Peter and his presence, and a pouring out of the Holy Spirit on these Gentile people in the same fashion as it fell on the day of Pentecost among the Jews. Almighty God wants a relationship with you, with me, and with all of those who would be in His kingdom. It is a very interesting thing to note that what you do for a living is not necessarily what you do with your life. And your life is in your hands to decide to do with it what you will. Do you want to stay merely a religious figure, a religious person who thinks that by doing religious sounding things and religious activity, that's going to get you into a relationship with Almighty God. Well, I suggest that you contemplate and consider what it is that God wants from you. Let's turn over to Titus. Titus was a young minister that Paul developed and prepared for ministry, and he writes him this personal letter to share some insights with him here in Titus 2, and we'll begin in verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And boy, I am so glad that God's grace and mercy extends beyond the church house. It can extend to your house, to my house, to every house. It does not have to stay in one particular location or come through one particular organization. It goes on here to say, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." In other words, the flesh must die. How are you doing with that? Your flesh keeps rearing its head, telling you to do things that you have proven you should not do. You've watched The Armor of God now for some length of time, and you realize what we teach from the Bible concerning things that are called paganistic practices, such as Christmas and Easter and Halloween and those kinds of things. And yet, do you get down to the last moment and figure, well, they seem to be religious activity. After all, everybody else is involved in it. I think I'll go ahead and do it one more time. It is time for you to reconsider, my friends, and let the flesh die. Look at verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Now, I make a personal appeal to you today. Now, we have churches throughout the United States and Canada. In fact, through Jamaica, we have churches in Australia, the Philippines, a lot of places. All you need to do is contact us by phone or by email and find out what you can do, how you can enter into a relationship with a body of believers who believe that religion really is not enough. There is something more expected of you. It is not the ritualistic things that we do that cause us to please God, but it is coming to learn what his will is for us. What does he require of us? Now, many would say to you, well, there's nothing you need to do because Christ has done it all. Oh, yes, there is something you need to do. You need to respond to his call. You need to respond to the fact that he will turn over heaven and hell, as it were, to get to you, to bring you into a relationship with him, just as he did with Cornelius, just as he did with Titus, and just as he does throughout the Bible with all of those individuals you hear about and read about. He did it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did it with Moses and Noah. He can do it with you. He did it with Lydia and Dorcas and all of these people because he wants to have a relationship with you just as he wanted to have it with Adam and Eve in the garden. But they rejected that relationship for religious activity, religiosity, if you will. It is no substitute at all for the relationship that God would have us have. First of all, you should remember, God gave God's self at creation. That's right. They had a discussion, and they decided they would make man and woman in their own image. Secondly, God gave his Son to save us. He sent him to this earth in the form of a human being. And then, thirdly, God gave his blood to justify us. That is a wonderful entree into a relationship with Almighty God. You need not be far off. You need not feel that because you're not religious enough, or you have been too religious, either one, you can have a relationship with Almighty God. And I hope you take time to make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to receive the double tape offer today. Till next time, I'm Bronson James, asking you to watch the remainder of the program, see you here next time on The Armor of God.
Throughout the world today, religious communities frequently stand apart from their common culture, whether it's among Buddhists, Hindus, Shintoists, pagans, or Muslims. Religious tenets can cause people to live apart from their culture, or their religion can actually define their culture. In today's Western societies, Christian religiosity has in many ways drifted very far from the original faith. So much so, in fact, that it bears little resemblance to its biblical foundation. And as Bronson pointed out, today, just as in Old Testament times, there's a lot of religious expression among professing Christians, but that expression is often contrary to God's expectations. And as was also pointed out, Cornelius and many others were instructed by Christ's apostles to repent and be baptized. The message then and now is that God is not concerned with our religiosity, but rather with our relationship with Him. Do you have a relationship with God, one that's in accordance with His Word? Do you know the first steps in obtaining such a relationship? The Bible is very clear in that regard. We are to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That's the first step in getting to know Jesus Christ and beginning to have a relationship with Him. After that, it's up to each of us to begin to live a different way, to put behind us our old way of life, to get rid of our old habits and our old faults and begin to inculcate the way of Jesus Christ into our life and begin to live our lives in accordance with His example and in accordance with the tenets of God's Word. And that, friends, is why you need to call and ask for our free offer, which has been designed to help you to begin to understand what God expects of you right from your Bible. So dial right now to area code 888-578-8791. That's a toll-free call to 888-578-8791. And ask the operator for our dual tape or CD set as your choice, entitled How Do You Know You Are a Christian and Is Being Religious Enough? Both are free. Just tell the operator which format you prefer, CD or cassette. And once again, that's toll-free 888-578-8791. And don't forget our website at www.cgi.org. And so, friends, for now, this is Wayne Hendricks inviting you to be with us once again next week for another edition of The Armor of God. And while I'm at it, I'd like to remind you to put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.